Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Hooked. This is the podcast where we come up with all of the great hooks and ideas for your role-playing experiences, and you don't even need to do anything. And you know what else? We improvise them. We're that amazing. Don't you love us? I'm not Zane, I'm Dom, and Zane will be returned when you transfer me. What? No, never mind. I am Dom. It's lovely to be here. Lovely to be back. COVID isn't over, and yet we're still doing this because we know the world needs us.
We're heroes.
My name is Dom. That voice you just heard was...
It's me, Jonathan. Hello.
And in the studio today with us, we have a new friend, a new guest. Introduce yourself, new friend guest.
Hello, my name is Nick. I am from a recent addition to the That's Not Canon Network, a podcast called Real Fantasy Encounters. We have an actual play podcast. We play indie tabletop games. We do have a bit of a backlog as well, so it's plenty of great places to get in. I'd highly recommend in our second season, great jumping on point, because we play a game called Masks, which is about teen superheroes. And it's got like a lot of cool stuff, like it doesn't track health or anything. You get like angsty emotions,
yeah.
is what you rack up.
Yeah. You are saying all the right words for me right now. I am loving this.
It's powered by the apocalypse, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like we're just like this wounds thing. What if that was angst instead? You're a genius.
Yep.
Print it, ship it. What we do here is we come up with hooks. We improvise them based on Magic: The Gathering cards and a randomized word. Before we get to that, though. Nick, that introduction was wonderful, but I feel like I don't know you well enough. And even Jonathan, you've been doing the podcast for a little bit now, but I want to get to know you better, and Zane isn't here to stop me. So my question, my getting to know you question is, you are an X-Man or a background character from some sort of comic book thing where everyone has superpowers. You kind of only appear when... there's like they need to do a big like 2-page spread fight scene. You are like, you have a name, you are someone's favorite character, but all you do is you blast a beam of energy from your hands. You're one of those guys.
The only power you need.
So
hand blaster, as
exactly
they call
you. You are one of those generic fucks. And what energy type do you blast from your hands?
Oh shit, that's a good question.
It is, isn't it? I'm good at my job.
Oh, God, because, like, I don't want to be boring like Cyclops and just say it's, like, kinetic power.
That's laser.
But, see, the good thing about that is you get to start all these fights with the community people where they're like, no, it's not a laser blast.
Yeah,
there is no
true.
Heat in his blast.
It's a concussive blast. Thank you very much. That's a strong argument.
Yeah, like, he can't even start a fire with it, can he? It's
no.
It looks like a laser, but there's no heat to it, is there?
Yeah, no, it... I mean, depending on...
Depending on the writer.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, it's
that's always the struggle.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I got to think for a while.
Yeah, on those grounds, I think mine would have to be some sort of a quantum blast.
Oh, okay.
It switches between being there and not being there.
Interesting. Okay.
I appreciate that. I've got one for you. I've been reading a very good Hulk run recently, so I do kind of want to just say gamma ray blast. That seems like a fun thing, just blasting gamma rays out of my hand.
Yeah, it doesn't kill them instantly, but it will kill them.
Yeah. Like, it's also, in certain canons, gamma rays are anywhere between actual science and just complete magic. Oh, so yeah. It really depends on the fight scene what it does.
This is the thing like Dr. Manhattan got in trouble for, isn't it?
Yeah,
passively giving people cancer.
The only consistent thing that it does from writer to writer is it makes the person sterile. Anything else? Who knows? But it will nuke your swimmers.
What a hell of a power to use in a fight scene. I will make you sterile.
Yeah, it's just like, no, I want to have kids. Well, then you'd better fucking surrender.
Don't fight. Nuke your swimmers.
Yeah. That's the sort of great writing you can get from me on my own show. Anyway, my power, I like, it's so generic, but I do like the idea of just shooting lightning from your hands. And like several characters do that. But like, it's more versatile than most writers will bother to use it for. Like, most writers will just have like, oh, you use it like a concussive blast. But you can, I think that if you're creative with it, you can do a bunch of things. And also it makes like a
sound. Also, you can do some great one-liners like, do you know what happens to a frog when it gets struck by lightning?
Is it the same thing that happens to everything else by any chance?
Damn right it is. Yeah. Damn right.
It only really works if you are fighting someone who has frog-like attributes, though. You know, otherwise you
That's a very common mutation. I think you're fine.
Otherwise, you seem like a fool when you say it, though. I know you'd hate to sound like a fool saying that.
Yeah. I mean, the way you pitched this to us is that we're not getting any dialogue.
Oh, yeah. You get like one line of dialogue, and that becomes someone's fucking profile pic on DeviantArt or something.
One of my favorite versions of this was I read an X-Men versus Avengers run, like about Phoenix taking over a bunch of the X-Men. It wasn't good. But there's an incredible, like, full page fight scene where one of the X-Men is just a dude with two pistols. It's like, that's not going to do much against most of the Avengers.
I mean, that's Deadpool.
Yeah, true. This was actually, sorry, Professor Nemesis, thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
The former Nazi turned Nazi hunter turned X-Man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Comics are bad.
I really hope the fans come here for comics content, because that's what I heard on the last episode of this before coming on.
I do
my
like
my research thing.
I do like how similar some of those names are. It's just like, yeah, this is Professor Nemesis. Don't confuse him with Mr. Sinister. No. They are totally different vibes.
Separate entities.
Yeah. Mr. Negative, who's that? Again, a completely different character.
Very different. Fundamentally quite different.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
we have a podcast that we need to do.
It's time to do some hooking. This isn't the most off the rails we've gone, trust me.
Yeah.
What we do here is we come up with a hook for you to use in your games, and we do it in the form of a magic trick. First, we do the pledge. We plant the seeds of an idea. Then we do the turn. We build upon the idea. We twist the idea a little. We put some meat on those bones, and then the prestige. We reveal either how the whole thing can be used in a game or how it comes together. It's the thing. It's the thing that makes it all come together as a damn fine hook. And our inspiration this week, would anyone like to say what the inspiration is this week?
Let me unlock my phone.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Is recognize your thumbprint?
No, I don't use the thumbprint, I'm typing badly.
You're typing badly?
I'm typing real bad.
Jonathan, what is it?
It is the Scribnibblers, which is really fun to say.
Scribnibblers.
Scribnibblers is a card with artwork done by Darren Bader, and it is of three rats tearing into a book, just really ripping that bad boy to pieces.
Yeah.
It's a 1/1 card, creature rat. I'm not going to rule it.
It's clearly multiple rats.
Rat in brackets, just the letter S. Yeah. I love looking at this card, and I like to say its name. Scribnibblers is wonderful.
Scribnibblers. And they're really cute. Like, they've also got kind of a ferret vibe going on as well. They're very cute. Rats are good.
They're very weird and patchily colored.
I love them.
It's kind of like skunk color scheming with the patches of red and white and red. Incorrect color. Wrong one.
Yep.
No, we don't edit this podcast. That's staying in.
Oh, I know this. Don't worry.
Yeah. And also, our random word generated this week is master. It is master.
Of puppets.
Pulling your strings. Would anyone like to go first with their beginnings, their hook, the pledge?
I can if...
Go on.
Please do.
Oh, goodness. Oh, I just remembered that we need to come up with a name at some point. I forgot about that.
You come up with a name at the end of your second round, the turn.
My hook is called Scribnibblers. Yeah, I know.
Plagiarism.
I'm very original. This is in a world where there exists a legend of a city built to a god of knowledge. And the party are hired by a library wizard, a church to knowledge, something along those lines, basically to find it and bring back some of this vital knowledge to them. They wish to have some of their holy texts returned to them, kind of thing. It's a very simple pledge, but I think it's a good place to start at.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll go next. I also have a simple pledge. Crime rates have increased in the city, chiefly petty theft, burglary, pickpocketing, that sort of thing. Maybe a little bit of arson here and there, but there's never any hint of who's done it. The only thing that seems to tie all these different crimes together is at the scene of the crime, immediately after the crime, people sometimes notice there's more rats than usual scurrying away into the alleys.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Nick.
Yeah, I feel like I've gone for the complete opposite of Jonathan's sort of concept. The party like gets to a town, and this is great that you've got like wizards or people carrying books or anything, because all the townsfolk want to buy books. They are so desperate for them. And you push into like, yo, why do you want these? Because they don't care what's in them. And they're like, oh, we just need to feed them to the library.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
I love that.
All right. Well, that's a very economical pledge there.
And this we're is the most to the point we've been.
Maybe Zane was the bad influence.
No. Zane just sitting in the corner made us more.
So Zane too track. Chaotic. Yeah.
That's what I've often said about Zane to everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This means I haven't got a name ready yet, which is
you fool.
I fell into the classic. I couldn't come up with a smart thing to say. It's just gone.
One of the classic blunders.
One of the classic blunders of Hooked.
Yeah.
Not having a name.
If it helps, I've been trying to workshop something with like the rats in the walls, like the H.P. Lovecraft story, but I can't make a pun work.
Yeah.
So if anyone can.
We'll figure this out. We'll figure this out together.
Right, and email us with your best H.P. Lovecraft puns.
Oh, please don't. I feel those will get real racist real quick, to be honest.
Yeah, just playing puns on the name of his cat and that sort of thing. Let's move on quickly.
Yeah, good plan. Okay, so the turn. I think the That's, journey...
That is the story that cat's from.
And in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm less interested in the journey part of this adventure and more so what actually happens when you get to the city. I think
it's, it's about the destination for Jonathan.
Yeah, exactly. The city is eerily quiet on discovery, the only sound being the faint skittering of vermin in the distance. The streets are completely empty of all life, as far as you can tell. The place, though, is littered with tomes and bookshelves lining the walls and entire houses dedicated to just stacks and stacks and stacks of books. Not a person in sight, but only this vast collection of knowledge. I think there's even like audio recordings that are like part of oral traditions that have been brought here as part of like recorded history, essentially. And it just seems so very easy to pick up any of these tomes and take it with you. You can succeed on your quest so simply.
I rolled a 4. I feel like I shouldn't have been able to take this.
It's weird that.
I want to check for traps.
The whole place is a trap. That is my turn so
what
far.
What is the name of it?
I haven't got one yet.
Oh, you mother... Well, I'll
go... Scribnibblers.
Well, for my one, it's a fairly simple one. This is a fairly simple pledge. It's just... I think it's a low level... I'll get into that. That's the prestige. Anyway, the party, hopefully they will notice, it's like the fact that you're mentioning there's rats will mean they go, well, the rats are important. So like at some point, they'll probably try to kill a rat or capture a rat. Jesus, hope they capture the rat, because after they capture a rat, they put it in a cage. Like after a little bit of trying to escape, poof, that rat's gone, and in its place, there's a grotty little orphan child who's like, let me go! Let me go! Get me out of this cage! Jesus, I hope you didn't kill that rat, because
oh, no.
It would have just turned into like a dead orphan, and it's just like, oh, get the health potion in its mouth!
I played a RPG recently called Simbarome. That's a Swedish indie RPG, and one of the twists in its like opening pre-built adventure is that if you kill a wolf, it turns into an elf, and you've just murdered a shapeshifter.
Hell yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is so good. Sorry.
Yep. So yeah, you inside the cage or however you've done it, maybe you backed into a corner, maybe you just knocked this rat unconscious. It transforms back into its true form of an orphan child. And the name of mine, which is a bit of a spoiler for where it goes next, is the Rat King.
That's a fun trap you've laid for people, where if you do badly on this adventure, you can murder a child very early.
Yeah,
on.
Specifically
that's my favorite kind of trap.
Yeah, welcome to level 4. And especially since like they're rats, there can be a horde of rats. It's just like, I'm going to fireball these rats. That's 25 dead children.
Oh, God.
Nick, would you like to follow up on 25 dead children?
Can I just come in with my name?
Good.
It's the Holy Rat Authority. That's all I'm going to go for.
Fucking okay. Dark Souls 2 reference? What the hell? It's the Royal Rat Authority in the game.
I know.
And also it was a dog.
It's a dog?
Yeah, it's a giant dog. Oh. It's a rat catcher.
There you go.
I've sort of structured mine as a dungeon because that's how I prep for everything. I'm a very big fan of the 5-room dungeon.
Yep.
You've got sort of your intro space, your more advanced thing, and then you give players like a choice of like two things to just like sort of see what they do with it.
I just did this the other day. This was used against me as a player.
I've never done anything like this as a DM because that's not the sort of game I run.
Yeah.
I'm a sicko for dungeons. Yeah,
I should have a dungeon somewhere.
Planning a dungeon going sicko mode.
Yeah, going full Gary Gygax sicko mode.
Yeah.
Go on.
So the opening room for this, I've written down barricade rush here. Because if they go into the library, people are like, there is this, basically, we have a plague, a pestilence. Mm-hmm. We have a pestilence of rats. It's entirely located inside of our library. It didn't used to be there. We don't know where it came from. Right. But they only seem to be interested in eating pages for now. So as long as we keep tossing books in there, they just eat those.
Yeah.
But the party finds out that when everyone escaped the library, they left like a bunch of like really good stuff inside. And they're like, well, if it's not paper, we got to go in there and get it.
Ah.
And so, the first room is like them going through, getting through the barriers that the townsfolk have got up. I imagine, when you go to a library and they have like there's like a slot in the wall that you can put your late returns through.
Yeah,
if it's outside hours. Yeah. They've just built entirely that.
I just love the environmental storytelling you can put in here, where you just like the sort of the way that they refer to this sort of thing in universe, and like you can have like just delightful mundane bureaucracy sort of stuff attached onto. There's book eating rats in our library.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
So, once they get past that, I've got tight narrow shelves here. My image for this is it Wipeout or Ninja Warrior? It's got the wall
the
where
wall,
it's
that's
all,
Wipeout,
all the fists that come out.
Yeah, it's probably something like that on Ninja Warrior, but that's
Wipeout. If you can imagine like just really narrow shelves at a library and just rats coming out like that.
Just shoving books out into your face.
Yeah.
It's just that Indiana Jones where all the snakes are like coming out of a thing's eye or something.
Why did it have to be rats?
Mm. And the name I have for this so far is the Pestilent Shelves.
Ooh, I like that.
Good stuff. All right, for prestige, back to the Holy Rat Authority.
So I think a thing that I've left out about this god of knowledge that's built this city is that it's not a god of sharing knowledge. It's a covetous god of knowledge. It wants to hoard all of this knowledge. And so what happens when you've taken these like, as many books as you can carry, you're going to leave the city. You cross a threshold. It's up to you how you would like to mark this. I think there's a couple different ways you could probably show it. And you start to hear the vermin. You start to hear the skittering getting closer and closer and closer. Ooh, exactly. And now they are chasing you. And it is a wall of rats and centipedes and maggots and anything you can imagine coming towards you.
Centipedes.
Yeah, you mean the snakes that look like a spider? Like, those things are nightmare creatures.
Centipedes and caterpillars, they freak me out.
They're nasty. And so it becomes this game of you outrunning a horde because you cannot fight this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really valuable to put your players into a position where they have to run and have to contend with that. And this is a case of, do you keep the books or do you just fucking go? Like, how do they handle this scenario? I think it also sets up a cool thing you can return to later in the adventure. When they have a plan to actually deal with that kind of place. But it sets up like a number of scenarios, I think.
Yeah, I like the idea of having a dungeon your players can fuck up and be like, well, now you can come back here, but you better have a plan next time.
Yeah. Do you want to try and get rid of the god? Do you want to see if you can dispel the swarm? Like, all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, nice.
Yep.
Is that all for the Holy Rat Authority?
I believe so. That's why it's the Holy Rat Authority, because they're on behalf of the god. Yeah.
Yeah, this is so going into mine for the prestige. So like I said, early campaign sort of stuff where there's this crime spree, you're going to be getting paid by the council or the guard, that sort of thing, to deal with it. And then you've got a pretty decent early game, early campaign dilemma of these orphans have been taken in by the Rat King, who is a Rat King, which is like a horde of very intelligent rats that have become bound together at the tails traditionally.
Yeah.
That has granted these real human, not human, sapient orphan children the ability to transform into rats so they can better steal for it and increase the Rat King's hoard. And you can defeat the Rat King and release all of these orphans, but like, they're not thralls. They are orphans who are getting by and getting money to pay for bread and gruel and that sort of thing, and they are sheltering in the sewers and being protected by the Rat King and that sort of thing. And you have a pretty decent sort of early game moral dilemma of, well, what are we going to do with all these orphans? This is the closest thing this city's ever done to caring about them, is this horrible monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that, because I think it's often, especially in D&D with the alignment system, it's kind of like the set and forget.
Yeah.
You don't really think about it too much.
Yeah.
So if you have like that early game moral dilemma that can really let people figure out their characters, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And in running my first long running campaign, like, you know, I think that the opportunities to have your players make horrible decisions,
yeah,
that's where the biggest role-playing opportunities are.
If you have a lawful good paladin in that party, yeah, with a god of justice, you're having a time.
Yeah, yeah. And like, having a monster that is doing something good for the wrong reason, it's like, yeah, it's one of those. I like Rat Kings, and actually, like, you having the wall of rats like chasing the party and stuff, that the first time I ever ran a one shot was a Rat King, because I like that mythology. And one of the big things, like, they went to, it was in a city where they'd always had a rat problem, but they had this whole guild of rat catchers. And then, like, part of the narrative was that they went to the guild of rat catchers and they found, like, that they had been kind of psychically fucked up by this Rat King hidden under the city. And then they were just like, oh, one of them is in the basement, like, hitting at the floor with a hammer, and he smashes through this final flagstone and rats flood
up. That's so good.
And, like, they flood up the entire top of the building, and people, like, a couple of players, like, smash through the ceiling to get on top of the roof as they're just flooding out. And this is genuinely probably triggering some of our listeners in a genuine way, so I'm going to move on. Nick,
yeah.
Prestige.
I was just thinking, like, on all that stuff, like, the rat swarms in that sort of way play into that sort of understanding, like, oh, for every one you see, there's another, however many you don't. You encounter.
I've been playing a lot of Warhammer Fantasy stuff, Vermintide,
the Skaven,
where you're fighting just hordes of rat people, and it's such a cool feeling to play against.
Yeah, it's great, because for every rat you then chuck at the player, they're like, oh my god, where are the rest of them?
I also like the Skaven because, like, yeah, they're just a dumb horde faction, but also they have the best technology in the entire setting, and there's just no reason for it.
Yeah,
fuck you.
It's the most, it's the best and most dangerous and most volatile technology.
Yep.
It will go wrong in the most catastrophic way.
Yep,
it's great.
Yes, sorry, my prestige.
No, absolutely.
So, at the back half of my dungeon, you split off into the two rooms. Here's a GMing tip I'll fold in with this. I think a really good thing to do here is just to give them really evocative names.
Mm-hmm.
The two that I've written here, one is the microfiche section.
Yep, good.
Yes.
And the other is the children's learning space.
Oh, that is such a hard choice.
Yeah, like, you put that in front of your players, they're going to have to argue among themselves and try and work out what is in those.
Yeah.
Whatever they theorizes in there, that's what's in there.
Yeah. And they're like, they're going to be thinking about, like, well, you know, the children's learning, that's the double bluff, so that's going to be the horrible one. It's like, but what if he knows that we are thinking that? So that'll be a triple bluff, and we should go for the, no, but wait, and they just drive themselves insane.
Yeah, they will probably think of a cooler idea than you could have thought up in your thing.
It's so, one of my favorite things from the Actual Play Podcast, Friends at the Table.
In
one of season one, one of the players offhandedly goes, are these zombie pirates? And Austin, the GM, is like, yeah, I guess they're zombie pirates, and just has to completely change the first season of the campaign.
Oh, Austin Walker is a fantastic inspiration for that.
Amazing. It's amazing, I love him.
Just like an offhand, just like, he was beheaded, and then just like, and then he came after me or something. It's just like, that's the way it is
100%,
now. 100%, yeah. Yeah,
but the big final room in here is where they encounter the enemy, the cause of this, and they find out, like, it was an accident, basically.
Mm.
There is a mage in here who was working on a spell. They wanted to find a way to consume as much knowledge as possible. They didn't have the time to read everything that they wanted to read.
Yep.
And so they're like, what if I could find a way to, you know, expand that through other sets of eyes? And obviously, it would be unethical to do that on people. What if I do that with rats? Mm-hmm. And I send rats out to consume knowledge for me, and it all goes back into my mind.
Nice. That is really evocative and creepy.
Yep. The thing they didn't realize was that they all process that information at the rate that a rat's brain would. And so there is this mage that just has essentially stun-locked themselves in here.
Yeah, like right. That's incredible.
They're badly blue-screening.
Yeah, they're just like, return to 10, eat. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and so they're this big threat. Not necessarily them themselves, but like the rats that are like have this sort of central directive to protect this comatose body at all costs.
Yep. Yeah.
That's really strong.
That's good, yeah. And I also like that I mentioned it earlier, but I like the basically they're not being asked just like, oh, please rescue our library. Oh, please. Like this, you're being heroes doing this. They were just like, you guys left some good shit in there. We could get that good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What were the names? So we had the Rat King. We had the Holy Rat Authority.
Yes.
And the Pestilent
and
Shelves.
And the Pestilent Shelves. Well, I think that has gone pretty well. We don't need you, Zane. But one thing that needs to be said before we finish this up is that Hooked is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. What this means is that you are free to share and redistribute the material, the stories that we've come up with today, in any medium or format if you give appropriate credit. You don't use the material for commercial purposes, and you don't remix, transform, or build upon the material in any way. You can use them in your games, but don't use them in your podcasts unless you've reached out to us, please. Well, that's Hooked. And before we go, Jonathan, where can we find you that isn't on Hooked Podcast?
You can find me at Rataloid, where I may have a new episode soon. I've made this promise every single episode. I will keep making this promise every single episode. And you can also find me on Twitter at Pirate Killjoy, where I tweet way too much about professional wrestling.
What the fuck is Rataloid?
Rataloid, thank you for reminding me, is a podcast where me and my co-host Harper look at Vocaloid's digital voice production software with anime characters and backstories and review and rate them on a numbered list to find the best one of all time.
An internet friendly numbered list.
Exactly.
I love content. Nick.
Real Fantasy Encounters, which I've told you about. We are realfantasyencounters.com on Twitter. We're at RFEncounters. And you can follow me as well at DuffHounds.
Nice. You're going to be releasing new episodes sometime soon. You don't have a date, though, do you?
We still have a...
Oh, you've got a backlog.
We're finishing up our third Cosmic Horror season at the moment.
Yeah, right, sorry.
Season 4 will be start of April.
Oh, lovely.
Really looking forward to it.
So there is a date set for it. All right.
Yeah.
You can find me on the Mist Home Museum of Mystery, Morbidity, and Mortality. By the time this comes out, the new season will have started releasing. It's an anthology series set in a museum of weird and creepy items, and there's more stuff going on this season. It's going crazy.
Yeah, you got a lot of metaplot happening now.
Oh, so much metaplot. And the really long title. Oh, God, what was I thinking?
You have kind of hoisted yourself here.
On my own petard?
On your own petard.
No! Thanks for listening to Hooked Podcast, everyone. We'll see you again next time.
Thank you.
And as always, play more games, motherfuckers. Do it.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.